Blog Talk Radio.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth.
A whole king, a carpenter.
You are the
living
one. Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
Manger born, but on a tree you died.
morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God is what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited that God, that you guys stopped by to listen in to the Worldwide Gospel Connection on this morning. Remember now to call a friend and tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. And again, call a friend and tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. And this is our Manna Monday broadcast. Listen, we're just excited about the guests that we have on this morning. We're just excited. Due to my error on this morning, we have two guests. Due to my error on this morning, we have two guests. So we will have our friend and our brother, Pastor Sean Lacey, with us, and Pastor Matthews will be with us as well. So we're excited about what God is getting ready to do with these two great men of God. I'm just going to yield the floor to them when the time comes for them to come and to share on this morning. But listen, before we go any further, we just wanted to acknowledge you guys on this morning. We're going to play a couple of more songs, and then we're going to go get on and we're going to go into our broadcast and get our broadcast started. But we just want to say thank you guys so much for your continued support, continued connection with us. And again, remember, ladies and gentlemen, that number to call, it's a number to call into if you want to do this live with us, if you want to come on live with us and speak with us live, that number is 563-999-3628. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. Make sure you pass that number on to a friend. Make sure you pass that number on to another brother. We just came out of our man-to-man conference with our friend Pastor Edwin Gibson. I'm sorry, Edwin Gibson. We had a fantastic time, us and the fellas, man. We had an amazing time. We actually sat down, broke bread, and shared, and we got into some places as men that we really couldn't talk about face to face. We couldn't talk about these things in front of our wives. These are things that we wanted to just share as brothers. It was an amazing, amazing moment, and I thank God for Pastor Gibson allowing us to come and to share with him on that day. We had a very nice turnout. All the men that were there that were supposed to be there, and so we thank God for that. We thank God for that. We thank God for that. So again, listen, I'm going to go ahead on. We're going to play a couple of more songs, and then we're going to be coming right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Remember, that number is 563-999-3628. Press 1, and you will let that acknowledge us to let us know that you guys want to speak or you want to share on this morning. So remember to get that number into the hands of a friend. Get that number into the hands of a neighbor. Look, it's been the good part haven't started yet. So listen, go ahead on and just get that number out there and tell them to call on in and be a part of this great conversation that's going to take place between us brothers right now or here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me. Deliver me, 'cause all I
My world needs you right now. My world needs with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Power fall down, bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you.
That's why I'm not ashamed to say.
My world needs you right now. God, yes, our world needs you right now. It is a blessing and an honor to come and to share with you guys on this morning, on this Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and partnering up with us on this morning. Remember to call a friend and tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. You can do so by passing this number on to them, and that number is 563-999-3628. Have them to press the one button, and as they press that one button, what that do, that'll acknowledge us to let us know that you guys want, that you guys are on and that you want to share with us on this morning, whether it is for your testimony, whether you just want to tell us how the broadcast is blessing you, or maybe you want prayer. Either one of those would be amazing for us, and we'll be glad to share in it with you on this morning. We have two amazing guests that are going to be on with us on this morning. None other than our friend, Pastor Sean Lacey, and Pastor Mathis, that will be calling in here shortly. And we're just excited about what God is doing on this morning. So you know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go any further, let us go into effectual prayer and prayer. We're going to share our scripture that we have on this morning, and then we're going to acknowledge all of those great countries that are listening in. So lend me your hearts a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for your kindness, your tenderness, your mercy. God, we thank you for your continued mercy, God, that is covering our life. God, as the enemy ran rampant across the city on last night, God, you were our protector. God, you watched over us, God. Your hand of grace and your hand of mercy was about our homes and about our children and about our lives. Father, we want to say thank you. God, even though there something did happen on last night, God, we're still grateful. God, because we understand it could have been worse. God, we understand that it could have went another way. But because you loved us, God, because you care for us, oh God, because you are a watchman over our soul, Father, you kept us safe. You kept us in the hollows of your heart and the hollow of your hand. And when the enemy tried to come in like a flood, Father God, God, you built us standing up against him. You made the enemy behave on our behalf. So, God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for being a guide and meeting us, God, on every hand. God, we thank you for being the oar that is on our boat, God. God, that while we were going through the storm, Father, you guided us through it, God. God, even though we didn't know what direction to go, we didn't know what was going on, we didn't know how we were going to get safe to land. But, Lord, we thank you, God, that we got there. And when we got there, God, we were all intact, God, and we all made it safe. So, God, we want to say thank you for your guiding, God, for your meeting us, God, for your turning and transitioning us, oh God. God, and letting us know that even in the midst where the enemy wanted to come in, God, and destroy, God, what you created. God, you wanted to destroy the peace, God. Wanted to destroy the hope. Wanted to destroy the joy. Wanted to destroy the guide in God. Just wanted to destroy our level of peace that is in you. God, we want to say thank you, Lord God. God, that you kept our minds steady. God, you kept our hearts steady, God. God, you kept our vision, God, to aim toward you. We thank you, Lord God, that you gave us that scripture that says when we look toward the hill, we're coming out of help. We already know, God, that our help comes from you. So we want to say thank you, oh God, for doing what you do best, and that is be God and be big and be constant in our life. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. God, we thank you, Lord God, for taking the reins of this broadcast, God, do with it what you will. God, because we know, God, we can't do this by ourselves. But Father, we know, God, that you'll step in and you'll make this thing be what you desire for it to be. So we surrender it to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Papa, for just being God and being God all by yourself. Our scripture this morning, the scripture that we will be using on this morning, I believe will bless you on this morning. I believe it'll bless you this morning. It is in the book of 2 Corinthians. It is in the book of 2 Corinthians, and it's going to be that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians and that 18th verse. Again, that is 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter and the 18th verse. And it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I'm going to read that again because that did something for me. "And all things are of God, and who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That'll preach all day. Amen. That'll preach all day. I'm not going to touch it, but that'll preach all day. That'll preach all day. We want to make sure that we acknowledge all of those great countries that are listening in. And we're just so grateful for you guys that are listening in. Let me take my two-minute soapbox moment that we share every morning, Monday morning here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, my soapbox moment. There are some countries, ladies and gentlemen, that's under the sound of my voice. There are some countries right now that are listening to us on some internet broadband. Maybe they gather around some internet device or some phone where they're actually listening to us right now. And if they are caught with a Bible, I'm sorry, with a scripture, not even a Bible, but a scripture in their presence. Some of them are made examples out of. They're drugged into the street. Watch this here. And some of them are executed right in the middle of the streets. Watch this here. Some of them, they are even sold into slavery. Their children are sold into work camps. Their wives are sold into servitude. The husbands are put onto farms where they work them until they just can't work no more. They just die. because they're being caught with the Bible, because they want to make an example. Not a Bible, I'm sorry, but with a scripture. Just a scripture talking about Jesus Christ. And they are made an example out of it. But watch this. Watch this here. What I want us to do as the body of Christ, as the ones that are under the sound of my voice, so let me get your help this morning. If I could get your help this morning, pray for them. Yeah, that's your job today. That's your assignment. Pray for them. Intercede for them today. I want you to call on the name of Jesus for them. Because when you call on the name of Jesus for them, watch this here. The hand of God will move for them. It'll move on the taskmaster. It'll move on the ones that have rule over them. It'll move on their hearts and give them peace that even in the situation that God is working it out for them, you pray for them. Now watch this. You may not remember every name that I call out on this broadcast on this morning, and that's fine. I don't want you to worry about trying to remember all of these names. Do this for me. Say, Lord, bless the ones that are listening in to the Worldwide Gospel Connection over this overseas in those other countries. Father, bless them. Keep them. Protect them. Put your hand of mercy on them. I'm not telling you what to pray, but I'm telling you how to talk as you pray. See, sometimes we can go and preach right there. Sometimes we can pray amiss. We can pray and ask God to do something, and we don't know exactly what we need to pray. That's when we say, Lord, we don't want to pray amiss, but Lord, whatever you got going on, whatever direction you want to go in, wherever you want to move, God, move. God, because we understand that your will got to be done. So we thank you for your will being done. In Jesus' name, that's how we do it. That's how you can do it. You can talk in your prayers like that and watch how God shifts it. Watch this. Can I help you? That'll help you with your own life. Come on, God. Who am I helping already? That'll help you with your own life. Learn how to trust God when you can't trace it. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you're going to mess him up with this one. Learn how to trust God even when you can't trace him. Even when it's in the most difficult, complex, and most uncomfortable times of your life, know that God is not just able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Learn how to trust in him and trust on him and watch what he'll do for you while you're going through what you're going through. Amen? Amen. Listen, watch this here. Go ahead on. I want y'all to take out the time today, and I want you to, in your intercession time, just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Pray and call out the name of the Worldwide Gospel Connection and say, cover the ones that are listening. Cover the ones that are listening. Amen. Amen. Watch this here. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia. We have China. We have Hong Kong. We have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, we have Mexico, we have the United Kingdom, we have Paris, France, we have Japan, we have South Korea, we have Ireland, India, we have Portugal, we have the Netherlands, we have Italy, we have Thailand, we have Romania, and we have Hungary. And we want to say thank you guys so very much for your continued support and connecting with us and listening in. We hope something is said, a song is played, maybe a word is preached that will bless you all today. And we ask that you continue to be encouraged, because know that the God that you are serving now will protect you. He'll keep you. He'll watch over you. Amen? Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Listen. We're going to go ahead on and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We got our guests that are going to be on, and we're going to go ahead on and we're going to let the Lord use them in the way that he has desired to use them on this morning. Amen? Amen. So let us go ahead on and take us a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation.
But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Yeah.
Exodus. This is my Exodus. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, why can't I hold these great men of God any longer? We have Pastor Aquila Mitchell that's going to be with us, and also Pastor Sean Lacey that is on the line with us this morning. Listen, what I did was I overbooked myself, but I believe that this was a divine appointment from God, because I believe these two great men coming together to share on this morning. I honestly believe that this is going to be a shift for those that are under the sound of these great men's voice, because on this morning, I'm honestly believing that God had really set this up to do this, because if you realize, we just came out of Father's Day. We just came out of Father's Day. We're celebrating Juneteenth, and also just by the grace of God, we had the opportunity to on Saturday, I had the opportunity to share in a man-to-man conference, a men's conference that was done by none other than a great friend of mine, Pastor Edwin Gibson. We shared in that on this past Saturday. So I honestly believe that this was a divine lineup and setup that we could get this thing done. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you none other than some great friends of mine that I consider great friends of mine right now, under the connection, divine connection, I believe, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, none other than Pastor Aquila Mitchell and Pastor Sean Lacey. Gentlemen, go ahead and let's get yourselves off mute. Pastor Mitchell, go ahead on first and introduce yourself, and Pastor Sean, after he introduces himself, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, hello, praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. Pastor Douglas, Apostle Douglas, it's good to be on this morning. My name is Quilla Mitchell, pastor of the Vineyard Apostolic Church in Jacksonville, Florida. I also am currently serving at a church here in Pensacola, Florida, Light of the World. And it's just really good to be on, really good to be on this morning. I love talking about the Lord. I love to share what the Lord has done and what he wants to do, and be an encouragement to others. So again, Apostle, thank you for having us on this morning.
Good morning, everybody. And let me first say thank you, Pastor Douglas, for allowing me this opportunity. Man, I am I'm pleased as punch to be on this morning with you. my name is Sean Lacey. I pastor Chosen Generation Christian Church in Houston, Texas. Been serving there for about started the church in 2017, but I've been pastoring since 2007. And I'm blessed to also be a part of ministries here in Houston, where I serve as a music director at Bethany Church and Antioch Church. I've been there, been at those respective churches 20 and 13 years, respectively. So it's a pleasure to be on. I met Apostle Douglas, I don't know, maybe a month ago. God allowed our paths to cross, and I'm really grateful to be on the show this morning. Thank you, sir, for having me.
Amen, amen, amen. Gentlemen, like I said, it is. I believe that it is a divine opportunity for us to connect and to share on this morning. One of the things that I believe, as we as men, sometimes we get to that place to where we struggle. Can we just open up the floor with we struggle? We are called, we are chosen, we are set apart, we are placed before the people, but there are some things that we as men deal with behind the closed doors, the side of pastoralship that they don't get the opportunity to see. And when we get to that place, watch this, gentlemen. When we get to that place where we have to seek God in our broken place. I shared on yesterday Romans chapter seven, when it speaks about, oh wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I share, and one of the things that I share with the brothers is this: in that most vulnerable place, in that most difficult place, in that most complex place, watch what God had to do. God had to get us to our breaking point, so He could show us that even though we're at our breaking point, we're not broken. We're not broken.
Amen.
We're damaged. Watch this. I tell people this all the time. We're damaged goods anyway. If we weren't damaged goods, we wouldn't need God.
Right.
If we weren't damaged goods, we would not need God. We'd be perfect. We'll be perfect and without blame, without blemish. But listen, there's something that we thought about. There's somewhere we've been. There's a word that we spoke. There's a situation that we've been in. Watch this here. Not just past tense. We're talking about present tense. And we struggle. Mm-hmm. And we struggle.
Right.
And we'll say that again. And we struggle.
Absolutely.
And as men, as believers, Pastor Aquila, I'm going to go ahead on and send it over to you. Just share in that spot.
Yes, sir. Apostle, I love the fact that you brought up Romans chapter 7, and it's a text that we've been dealing with. Or I don't want to say we've been dealing with that particular text, but that text seems to come up so much lately with the people of God. It doesn't matter what Bible study we're teaching, doesn't matter what we're preaching, doesn't matter what we're talking about, doesn't matter what we're interceding for. It always seems to come up. And I believe that part of our struggle comes from the mindset, or rather the expectation, that we are supposed to be perfect. We have these high expectations of ourselves, and I'm not one to say, oh, just go out there and run willy-nilly all over the place and do whatever, but we do have this expectation sometimes, and sometimes that expectation is not set by us. It's set by those that are watching us, that they're expecting for us to always be on and never be off. They're expecting for us to always be strong and never be weak. They're expecting for us to always be the encourager and never need encouragement. And there comes a time for every one of us where we find ourselves, much like Paul in that seventh chapter, somewhere around that 15th verse, Paul actually he starts off earlier in that chapter, and he talks about himself. He says about himself and the flesh that he lives in, he says, in this flesh dwells no good thing. And so let me set the standard now. I know you're looking at me. I know you may expect this and expect that, but there will be times where I just may not have it together. And so he goes on around maybe that 15th verse, I believe, and he says, if I can paraphrase it, he starts to say something to the effect of, you know, the things that I know to do that are right, I cannot seem to find the will to do it. But the things that are wrong that I shouldn't do, I can always find the will to do that. He goes on to say, so I'm finding within myself a war between the law of my members, or the law of this flesh, and the law of my mind. And these things are contrary to one another. And as you stated, he goes on and says, who can deliver me from this body of death? It's not always easy living in this body that God gave us, because there are times, as I said, where we where we fail. There are times where we just don't have it together. We are just not at the top of our game on that day. Monday rolls around and we're a little more tired than we normally are. Or Saturday comes and all week long the kids have gotten on our nerves, or the Saints haven't, you know, they haven't done what they needed to do. The church isn't this, or whatever it is, and you find yourself not at the top of your game. But there's something that I love about Paul, because he ends chapter 7 with the statement, who will deliver me from this body of death? But he goes into chapter 8 of that same book, and somewhere around that 18th verse is one of my favorite verses. And he says, sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. I may stumble. I may fall. I may have some hard times. There are some difficult things that may happen in my life. There are some trials and fires that I may have to go through. People may walk away. Ministry may not grow at the rate that I want it to grow at. I may not have the money that I would like to have. I may not have, my relationship may not be where I would like it to be. But thank God and glory be to God that the things that I'm going through, right, the sufferings that I'm dealing with, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And what I like about that text is that word revealed there in the Greek, it actually deals, it's not talking about something that is a new thing. He's not talking about a new thing. That word reveal deals with something that's already there. You just don't know it yet. And so there are some things that God has, while we're going through these trials, while we're going through these tribulations, while we are facing difficulties in our lives, why we are stumbling through life at times, God has already ordained a glory for us. He's already ordained a glory for us. And so I thank God for that. I'm glad you brought that up. I would like to be an encouragement to our brothers out there, brothers and sisters, all those, I heard all the countries that you mentioned. And I believe Jesus Christ is the same in every country. And I believe that just like he is a very present help for me here in Florida, in the United States, he will be a very present help for those in Hungary, for those in Ghana, for those all across this world, if we just put our trust in him.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Lathan, please go ahead and chime in.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, again, for this opportunity. You know, the thing about men and our walk with Jesus Christ, I think Jesus gives us a perfect example of what he's looking for. While in his earthly ministry, he picks men not because they're perfect, but because they are obedient. When he calls his disciples, when he calls his first two disciples from the side of the ocean where they're fishing, he doesn't call them because they are perfect, but he calls them because they're obedient. Because when he says to them, "Come and follow me," they do just that. They lay down their fishing nets and poles, and they immediately go and follow Jesus. But when you look at the type of men who he chose, they weren't perfect. They weren't members of the Sanhedrin Council of that day, or they weren't super religious. They were just ordinary men who were willing to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is looking for. He's simply looking for obedience. He's looking for somebody who is willing to be obedient, somebody who's going to be willing to follow him and work towards that perfection, and work towards completion, work towards righteousness, and work towards holiness. And, you know, there were people there were men in Jesus's group of disciples but when you look at it, they come to get Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him, and Peter literally chops off somebody's ear. He has a temper and an ankle problem. And he's been walking with Jesus now 3 years, from a perspective of time, physical, the carnal time, we would say, oh, you know, he had all this time with Jesus, received all of this teaching from Jesus, received all of this instruction from Jesus, but then they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter does what any common man would do. Well, it's because Peter is a common man. He's just willing to be obedient. That's what God is looking for from men, is to be obedient. Because when men are in order, the family can be in order, the house can be in order, the church can be in order, the world can be in order. When Jesus is feeding those people after that long day in the desert, and they're looking for food, and the disciples say, "Oh, you know, Lord, we don't have anything to eat. We can't send these people away." And Jesus says, "Will you feed them then?" And the disciples say, "Well, we don't have anything. There's a lad here that has a little lunch, a few sardines and some crackers." And Jesus says, "Well, tell the men to sit down." Because when the men are in order, when the men are obedient, that puts order in place. And oftentimes, men, we have to, we have to remember that obedience to God is what He expects from us, so that everything else can be in order.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Dr. Lacey, I, if I may, you talked about him not choosing us because we're perfect, because we're obviously not, but he chose us because he knew that, or he chose his disciples because he knew that they would be obedient. And Paul is just, and Paul is one of my favorite writers of the New Testament. And he says something in, I believe it's somewhere in Galatians, I think chapter 4, around that 12th or 13th verse. Paul says, he says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." And when I look at that text, I see a man that has a problem, whatever that problem may be. Scholars will say it's this or that or whatever it is. But Paul simply says he had an infirmity of the flesh. And he says, it through that infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you. And so there's something that I just kind of, when you mention perfection, there's something from that text that I get. Paul did not stop serving or ministering to wait to be healed, to wait to be perfect, to wait for his problems to go away. He didn't wait for all of those things, for his issues, so that he could start ministering, right? And so this is, I believe this is a word to the brothers that are out there, sisters too, those that are called by God, that feel like, well, I can't do this ministry yet because I still have this problem, or I can't do this ministry yet because I still have this affliction or this hang up, or I can't do this ministry yet because I don't have all my ducks in a row. Paul didn't wait to be healed. He didn't wait for his infirmity to be taken away. In fact, the Bible says he sought God that he would take it away from him. And God told him no. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you," right? He goes on to tell him that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so I believe that we have to understand it's not about, we strive for perfection, but don't wait for perfection for you to start your ministry. Because the truth of the matter is,
If you don't do what God tells you to do and you're waiting for things to line up, it'll never line up. If you sit around waiting for this to happen or this person to come or this person to say yes to you or somebody to open the door for you, that thing may never happen, and you will never realize what God has for your life. Sir?
Okay. Now, excuse me, gentlemen, I want to tag into this real quick. Y'all have some amazing points, and both of y'all are spot on with what y'all are sharing. One of the things that we have to realize about assignment, notice that word, those are two words, assignment. You're assigned, and it's meant for you to be there. So whatever you got going on, know that assignment God has already looked down the line and seen that you are capable of doing it. If y'all need Bible, let me get y'all Bible. Y'all know in the first chapter of Job, before we even get introduced to Job real good, we find out that Satan is already on his tracks. The Bible says it talks about how the sons of God was assembling themselves before God, and Satan was among them. And the Lord asked Satan, he said, where have you been? He, as if God didn't know Satan already been by Job's house, he said that I've been to and fro. He said, I've been to and fro, walking the earth. And then he turned around and he said, had God turned around and talked directly to Satan and said, had you considered my servant Job? Had you considered my servant Job? So know that in your assignment, adversity is a part of the assignment. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you cut it, no matter how you slice it, if you look at every man, every biblical character in the Bible, everybody from the parables on down to the ones that were actual live and Memorex, hear me good. They all suffered something. But God knew what there was already down on the inside of them that they would not fall apart. Watch what he did to Job. He gave Satan permission to touch everything that belonged to Job. Every portion, every piece, every minute part of Job's life he touched. From his wife cursing him to him losing respect of his friends. Because he knew that Job could carry the weight.
Right.
And see, what happens is this, ladies and gentlemen, watch this, those of y'all that are listening in across this country, listen, it's a part of the assignment that God has put on your life. Watch this. Philippians said it like this. This is what Philippians said. Philippians 4:4, and let's do eight. You say, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are loving, whatsoever things are of good report, if these things have any variance, or if they are praise, think on these things. For these things which you have both learned and received and heard and shown in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, we have to learn how to shift our thinking into the place to where we think on the things that's good. I know it don't look good. I know it don't feel good, but it's working for your good. If that makes sense to anybody. It don't feel good, sound good, or taste good, but it's going to work for your good. As men, we are according to our research of man, we are hunter gatherers. We are hunters. We hunt That's what we do. We go, we find the prey, we going to kill it. Some of us, I'm not a country boy. I ain't never been to, I grew up going down to Louisiana as a kid, being down there. I learned how to, to feed the cows, and I learned how to, you know, go in the chicken coop to get the eggs and all that kind of old stuff. And I knew how to do that, but the hunting part was never my thing. I never did a lot of hunting. I never did a lot of fishing. I've done it, but I haven't done a lot of it. But as us being hunters, our job, our assignment as men, we go out and we go do what needs to be done to bring in what we need to bring in. And that's just our mentality. We can be stressed out, traumatized, and we'll still get up and go to work. Threatened heart attacks, stressed completely out.
Mm-hmm.
Broken all from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, and we'll still get up and we'll still keep going. Because it's what's in us. We know what we've been called to. We're called to be the protector. We're called to be the provider. We're called. My wife said it like this yesterday. She said they're called to cover. And as men, we cover. Watch this. We'll cover people who, to be honest with you, not worthy to be covered, but we cover them anyway. They didn't hurt us, but we know that we need to cover them. We didn't hurt. They didn't hurt. Like I said, they didn't hurt us with their action, but we cover them anyway. I'm not gonna let you talk about them. I'm not gonna let you say nothing to them. I'm not gonna let you hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna let you cross a line on them. Because we've been called to cover. We may pull them over to the side later on and say, hey, man, look, get your stuff together. You're tripping with yourself. You know? But we would never take our position out of position. We'll always stay in place. We'll always stand on that ground to do what needs to be done. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor Lacey.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, Pastor, you're absolutely right, and it's interesting that you talk about men and their our roles. I had the opportunity to marry a young couple over the weekend, and in my premarital counsel and advice to them, I was explaining. Now, this is a young man, 22 years old, and honestly, I got married for the first time at 19 years old, not really understanding really what marriage was, but in my spiritual maturity,
mm-hmm.
Now I know that the role of a man in marriage, in the home, is to be the priest, the provider, and a protector, because that's what Jesus is to the church. And the Bible instructs us as men to love our wives as Christ loves the church, and that's powerful. I believe that if men really understood what it means to love their wives as Christ loves the church. How did Jesus love the church? First of all, he literally gave his blood for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And as priests, we are to cover our homes, pray for our families, pray for our wives, lead them to worship. That's our priestly duty as men, and then to be providers, as you just talked about, and to be protectors, to cover them, to make sure that all of the needs of the home is met. And this is what the real role of a Christian man is. Now, this doesn't mean, again, as we talked about earlier, it doesn't mean that we don't deal with our own stuff. You know, we deal mm-hmm. with our own stuff. We're going to have day to day things that we deal with. You know what I mean? It's men often, like if we were to be honest, brothers, men have a huge pride issue when we can't provide, when we can't protect. Mm-hmm. That injures our pride. That does something to our ego. And I think oftentimes our wives, our women, our children don't understand what it's like to want to do that. It's not that men don't want to. It's just that for whatever reason, the circumstance may present, you know, that we can't be that person, and that injures that affects. Our abilities, you know, that affects our pride, and mm-hmm. but again, it's because we're not perfect. We deal with our own stuff, but then God does something else, right? He gives us a wife as a helpmeet, right? Not to do what we're supposed to do, but to in that moment comfort and comfort and keep our hearts, you know what I mean? So that, you know, we're able to get back to that place.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mitch.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, I'm eating on this myself. Pastor Lacey, you hit on something, a personal issue that I have recently had to deal with, and if I may share my testimony, and pray that it blesses someone. You talk about our pride when we can't do what we know that we are appointed to do. Well, I'm a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, and over the last 4 years, when I got out in 04, and I had some issues, and I put it off for a while, and I was like, I'm not going to worry about it now. Things started to get worse and worse, and so I got with the surgeon, and there were some surgeries that needed to take place. And so for the last 4 years, I've had a major significant surgery each year that has sidelined me from work. And so during this time, the VA is required to compensate the veteran quite handsomely so that they can continue to live and what have you. And I just had a surgery on March 26th. And for whatever reason, this is still ongoing at that, mind you, for whatever reason, there was a clerical error with the VA, and they have not paid me in months. And can't remember the last time I got a check. And so, I'm used to providing for my wife in a particular way. I'm used to providing her with a certain level of comfort, you know, and lifestyle, and. She and I had talked not long ago, and she was like, babe, you know, it's going to be okay. And I was like, I appreciate that, babe. I appreciate that you're encouraging me. I said, but I am the man of this house. I am the husband, the provider, mm-hmm. the head, the priest mm-hmm. of this home. And I don't think you quite understand. And I thank God for my wife because, in her encouragement, she admitted, you're right, baby. I don't know, but what I do know is what I'm called to do, and I'm called to encourage you when you're down. I'm called to undergird you when you're struggling, and so there's a dynamic there that God requires between a husband and wife where the enemy may come in and try to sow something that will break that dynamic, that will break the union, destroy the unity in the house some way, somehow. And statistics show that finances are a major cause of divorce. But when that husband, when that man can swallow his pride, right? And when that wife right. can be the helpmeet that she needs to be, and not just with finances, in any area that there's that may arise, when they can swallow, when he can swallow his pride, she can be the helpmeet, and they can go to God together. You will see that that marriage will withstand that fire. And I thank God, because even during this time, brothers, I tell you, I don't like to get into bills and things like that, but there was a time when I was looking at, man, this is what I pay out every month, and things have changed. But God has been good to us. God has been good. He's yeah. provided. And I think it's because I was able to, as a man, as you said, swallow my pride, talk to my wife, and we go to God in prayer and war against whatever principality is trying to hold this up. And God has provided in the midst of it all.
Right. You know, and one of the great things about that, Pastor Mitchell, is this, is that unity is what destroys the plan of the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Boy, that'll preach all day. Listen, unity is what destroys the plan of the enemy. If you look at it, the Bible says a threefold cord is not so easily broken. When we as men are willing to do like Pastor Lacey said, and like you're saying now, swallow our pride. Swallow our pride. And be able to do what needs to be done. I'm with you on your testimony as far as being the man. And Pastor Mitchell, listen, I lost the job, the house, and the car, all within 3 months of each other. The house went first. Well, no, the job went first, then the house, then the car, within 3 months of each other. And the thing that I had to learn was this, Pastor Lacey. This is within Pastor Mitchell. This is what I had to learn. I had to learn that as men, is not what we give physically to our wives. It's what we give to them spiritually and what we give to them emotionally. And listen real good, man, to all my brothers that are listening in. We're not called to be thermometers. We're called to be thermostats. We set the tone. We don't rise when the temperature rises. We set the tone. And when we set the tone, watch this, gentlemen. When we set the tone, we could change the whole atmosphere of the house. If we come in weary, if we come in with tears in our eyes, if we come in with hurt, if we come in with pain, if we come in with frustration, if we come in with anger, guess what? We're no good to anybody in the house. When we learn how to be the gauge that sets everything together. My wife is good when she see all hell breaking loose in the house, and I'm sitting over there and I'm calm. But as soon as I let what I see on the outside, the ship rocking, the heartache, the pain, the frustration, the anger, the frustration, the time of tears and fear come in. As long as she sees me keeping it together. Now, I'm not, brother, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that as men, we don't have the right to have feelings. Don't get me wrong, because see, in all intents and purposes, if we bottle this stuff up on the inside of us, we become a ticking time bomb. We're no good to them or to ourselves. Learn how to target your anger. Learn how to target your frustration. Learn how to target what needs to be targeted. Deal with it. Dust yourself off. Come back to the front of the room and let everybody know everything's okay. See, sometimes all it takes is us to go, if truth be told, let me tell you, it takes us just to go in the room, look in the mirror, and say to yourself, self, you got this. Even if you're saying it with tears in your eyes, even if you're saying it with heartache on your mind, say it, deal with it, and go back out. Even Jesus stole the way when he got ready to go to the cross and cry. I honestly believe that God hid, and this is my own. This is nothing I read. This ain't nothing that I've seen or anything like that. But I truly believe that God hid from Jesus the whole magnitude of the cross. And so when God gave him a glimpse of it when he went off to play, you notice he prayed. They say he prayed and he started to have hemorrhaging. As he prayed, there were drops of blood that literally fell as he prayed from his sweat. He was praying just at all. That he started to hemorrhage and started to bleed. Watch this, gentlemen. It's okay to bleed. Just don't bleed on people that you love.
Right. Yes,
you can bleed. Just don't bleed on the people that you love. When you get finished, still understand that at the end of the day, there's an assignment attached to your life. There's still work to do.
Right.
Still got to be daddy. Still got to be husband. Still got to be sound counsel. And watch this here. There are people that are depending on you. So you can't faint in the fight. You can't lose it in this. There are people that are literally watching you. There are people that are watching you. They watch what they're looking at. They looking to see. And no disrespect to you, Pastor Mitchell. They looking at Aquila.
Mm-hmm.
Asking, watching the man of God. They looking at Sean. Our campus pastor, Pastor Paul, is like, listen. They looking at Dwayne. Watch this here. They looking at Samuel. They looking at Edwin. They watching us, guys. And it was, God, I wasn't even intending to go there, but why, since I'm here, let's go. It's necessary for us to let them know I'm not okay, but we're going to make it through this together.
Right. Pastor Douglas.
I'm not going to lose it because I'm here. I'm not going to lose it because we're here. We're here. Let's deal with it. Ain't no need sitting up there throwing in the towel. Ain't no need in stopping. Ain't no need in not believing. Ain't no need in crying behind, as the old saying say, crying behind spilled milk. Clean it up and fill the glass up again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. Gentlemen, listen. I want to open up the floor for you guys' closing remarks. And after you give your closing remarks, Pastor Lacey, if you would lead us in prayer, and we're going to go ahead and we'll close out the broadcast.
Yes, sir, certainly. Go ahead, Pastor Mitchell, with your closing remarks.
Yes, sir. I believe where you left off at, Apostle Douglas, it took us right back to perfection. Not that perfection is not a prerequisite for purpose and praise. It is not a prerequisite for purpose and praise. And I believe that we need to learn, if we haven't learned, we need to learn that even though we are not perfect, even though things may not be perfect, we can still praise and worship God. We can still and understand that because perfection is not a prerequisite for praise, instead, praise prepares the opportunity for perfection to arise. And if we take that to heart, I believe some of the issues that we go through, we will be able to embrace them and grow in them and minister in them, or as Paul said, minister through them. Some of my greatest messages, I believe, some of my most powerful sermons that I preached came at a time when I was preaching from the most difficult place in my life. That time when I struggled and felt like I'm not good enough to preach this conference, or I'm not, things in my life are too upside down. That was the time that God used to demonstrate just how powerful he can be. And so I'll say this last thing, and then I'll turn it over to you, Pastor Lacey. Many times we're in this place of brokenness, in that place of hardship or whatever it is, all these things we talked about, we're seeking God for deliverance. And I think we need to remember that sometimes, not all the time, is deliverance something that is being removed from us or you being removed from something. Sometimes you're being delivered by being kept in the middle of it. You're being delivered in the midst of chaos and storm and trouble. You're being delivered through the peace that you have in the midst of it. And so I just thank God for the opportunity to be on with you all today. Very good brothers in Christ, men of wisdom, Pastor Lacey and Apostle Douglas. Again, I thank you for having me on. I pray that we, in our sharing today, I pray that those out there across the world, across this globe, heard something that would encourage them. Encourage them to hold on a little bit longer. Encourage them to take a few more steps forward, to spend a little more time with the Lord. God bless you. Love you all.
Thank you, Pastor Mitchell. Man, it has been a pleasure to meet you in this space. I certainly hope this will not be our last time interacting and sharing together, because I enjoyed so much that you shared with us and with the world today. Just in closing, let me say this, brothers, to us in this space and to those who are listening. Listen, God has called men to a purpose in this world. God has called men to a place of leadership. God has called men to a place of work. And God has called men to a place of worship. And when we understand that, I believe that our world can be a better place, our homes can be a better place, our cities and states can be a better place, our churches can be a better place when men understand that God has not just called us, to a gender role, but to leadership, to worship, to work. And so we should be good. We should be great at what we do. We should strive to be great at what we do. Pastor Mitchell mentioned Paul. I love Paul too, because Paul realizes, he admits that even though he's come to this place in God where he he writes the majority of the New Testament, and you know, he's established several churches, and he has all of these accolades and all of these spiritual accomplishments. Paul first calls himself the chief sinner. He's called by God on the road outside of Damascus, going to do what was doing, which is to kill, to persecute Christians. And he was good at it. He said, I was the chiefest sinner. But then Paul's, well, he was Saul at the time, but then his name is changed to Paul. And now rather than being chief sinner, he's a chief apostle. He becomes good at what he does, not for his glory, but for God's glory, because this is what Paul says. Paul says, if I could be good when I wasn't serving God, why shouldn't I strive for greatness while doing this? So that's what I want to encourage your brothers to do. As you work and as you worship in the kingdom, be good at what you do. Be great at what you do. Strive to please God. Understand the word of God. Read the word of God. Not just read it, but live the word of God, and be the man that God has called you to be. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing me this opportunity to share. And Pastor Mitchell, again, it's been a pleasure to share with you in this space. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we thank you now for this time that you've allowed us to share together. We thank you for the word that you have opened to us, that you have illuminated to us in this space. We understand that your word is like bread to our souls. So we've eaten and now we're full. But God, we pray that your word will not just be eaten, but that we can go forth from this space and share your word with those who need it, with those who desire, with those who need to be fed, just as we've eaten. God, we pray that your word will go forth and feed those who need to be fed. God, I pray that you bless these men of God as we lead our churches and our families, and be leaders in our communities and in our social groups. God, I pray that you will impart to us your word, open up our hearts, open up our ears so that we can hear you clearly, but then give us boldness and confidence to preach your word, teach your word, be leaders, men that you've called us to be. And God, I pray that you give us leadership, give the people of God fellowship to be obedient and submissive to the word of God, not to us as men, but to us as spiritual leaders, and to your word. God, I pray that you'll bless our homes, bless our wives, bless our children, bless our going out and our coming in. We give you praise for it all, and believe that what we're asking for, you will do. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to also make sure those of you all that are listening in, you may not know Christ in the pardon of your sin, but Romans 10 and 9 gives us clarity and says if you confess with your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. There are those of you that are under the sound of our voice, you may not know him in the way that you need to know him. You may have known other than you backslid and you fell away. I want to extend to you that opportunity to give Jesus another chance, or give Jesus a chance to come into your life. So we want to extend that to you. We want you to find a place to where the word of God is being taught. You have Pastor Mitchell that's in Jacksonville. If you're listening in Jacksonville, you have myself and Pastor Lacey here in Houston, Texas. Find your church home. Find someone that will teach you the word. These men are great and astute in the word. So they're here. So watch this here. From their conversation, they live what they preach. And that's one of the things that you want to make sure that you have. Also, get yourself a really good Bible, one with the red writing in it. That lets you know that Jesus was talking. I'm going to help you get you one with that red writing so you can distinguish between the voice of God and the voices of the ones that have gone through on this earth, and they live their lives through their passages of scripture that's there that'll help you along the way. And then you can compare what they're saying in the pulpit to what you're reading in that book. And watch this, it'll give you clarity. It'll give you insight. It'll give you strength. So our prayer is that you'll find a church home and give your life to Jesus Christ and let him guide you. Let me be the bearer of good news for some and the bad news for others. This walk will not be easy. This walk will not be perfect. This walk will not be a walk of easy peasy, lemon squeezy, as they say. It's not going to be none of that. But what it will be, it'll be well worth it if you stay in it and strive in it and let Jesus do what he does best, and that is show up in your life and be God and be big, and he was for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, he will blow your mind. Amen? Amen. Brothers, thank y'all so much. We appreciate you. We thank Pastor Lacey, and we thank Pastor Mitchell for coming on and sharing on this morning. Brothers, we are greatly appreciative to you, and we thank God for you. And watch this here, gentlemen. This is not going to be the last time that these brothers are going to be on. These are not going to, because we need to bring them back. We really didn't get a chance to do a whole totality of what we wanted to do on here today. But watch this here. I want to bring these brothers back. So when they come back, and we can really go ahead on and break the bread. We can go ahead on and just break this word down and just enjoy each other in Christ. Amen. Amen. So we thank you guys for listening in and being a part of today's broadcast. We ask that you guys continue to support. Those of you all who would like to sow a seed into the radio broadcast, listen, we are not only just the owners of the broadcast, but we also do outreach ministry. We're also pastors. And so when you sow into this ministry, you sow into us, and we're able to watch this here. We're able to go out, and we're getting ready to do a home venture, and we're going to go out into the streets of Houston, Texas, and we're going to go ahead on, and we're going to feed the homeless. So your seed comes into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, it flows right back out to help those that are in need. So any one of you guys would like to share that are listening in, if you'd like to share, you can do so. We have three ways to do it. You have your Cash App, your Zelle, and you have your PayPal. So either one of those directions you can go. Our Cash App is $WGC2020. We also have our Zelle, which is 346-419-5960. And then we have our PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwidegc. Again, that's paypal.me/worldwidegc. You can connect with any one of those places to share your seed, to share with us. And we promise you that you sow into us, we sow into others. Amen. So your seed, as it goes into our ground, we take it and put it in the more fertile ground, and your seed continues to grow. Watch this here. That's how you get a seed at seed time and harvest, because you sowed in the right place at the right time, and then they were in their sowing season, and now you're getting blessings on blessings on blessings. That's what they call it. And watch this here. It don't always come back as finances. Sometimes it come back as miracles. Sometimes it come back as healing. Sometimes, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to teach on that. Sometimes it comes back as God protected you from something. Amen. So we thank God for you guys that are listening in, and those of you all that are sharing with us on this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And again, we look forward to you guys sharing and coming back to be a part of this Worldwide Gospel Connection again. Amen. So listen, we're going to go ahead on, and we're going to take this to break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word says.
God has spoken.
body
Amen.
To the raising of the dead.
Amen.
No matter how you're feeling
Amen.
Or how your world is reeling,
Amen.
Battle on through the night,
Amen.
'Cause you're gonna win the fight. The church say,
Amen.
Oh, lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Let the church say,
let the church say.